If you guys go to a club to stand up in a corner and bob your head like this and not dance or do anything like at a party, you're not cool. You're corny. You're a waste man.
Wait, I know you're allowed to say the N-word. Are you allowed to say the C-word?
Oh, am I?
Oh! Have you learned nothing from this pod? Jeez, Dem Dog on the pod? What?
This guy helped me make $1,000.
Jamaica is the best and Trinidad wants to be
Holla at me with Carnival.
The wave in the muzzy, Burrow sound, your boy DJ Czar.
Back with another episode and we have a special guest in the building. This is Kyrie, Caribbean sensation, West Indies flavor. Hold on, let me ask you first.
Yeah.
Chicken curry or curry chicken?
Brother man, it's Trinidadian and curry chicken.
Okay, wait. Sorry, let me ask you. No, I'm joking still. You probably don't even know what reference that is.
I do understand there's a chicken curry versus curry chicken thing in the Caribbean.
It's like real war though, like, you know, like it's like Chris versus Bloods type shit.
Yeah. But what is like the big contention?
Honestly, I think it's stupid. Yeah. I think it's dumb. Like, you know, like, yo, it's food. It's going in your belly. It's something that... I could cuss on here?
Yeah.
Yo, it's something that you shit out at the end of the day, man. Realistically. So.
Well, you have to know, Caribbean people, Indian people, very... So much pride.
Yeah, bro. Like...
So much pride.
Like, you put a Jamaican, so natural, in a room, and a Trini in a room. Yo, you can tell the Jamaican pride, and you can tell the Trini pride just right there. Like, you know?
Because, like, you know, Jamaica is the best and Trinidad wants to be.
Holla at me with Carnival, okay? Holla at me with Carnival. Biggest party in the world.
I want to ask you something, and I don't want anyone to get offended by this question. This is just like general knowledge. So I understand that, like, the Indo-Caribbeans who, like, they migrated to the West Indies, like, against their will, pretty much.
His research.
Let me, like, pose this. I know.
Actually, yo.
Me and Shaker.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm
not.
I'm
happy you brought that up, but okay.
So, I understand a lot of them colloquially are referred to as coolies, right? But is that a derogatory term?
Definitely. So, it meant, like, a laborer, like, basically a slave. So the story of how it happened was, you know, after the slaves were freed in the Caribbean, the black slaves, you know, what happened was they went to go get Indians. Mm-hmm. At first it was actually Chinese. So I did some research and I found out that they brought the Chinese people over to, like, Jamaica and Trinidad. And it kind of makes sense in Jamaica.
Yeah.
I'm not sure really about Trinidad. This is more of the Jamaican history. Mm-hmm. But I know that they brought the Chinese over and most of them couldn't really keep up with the conditions. So they went to India and brought the Indians over. And, you know, during that whole trip, that's when the whole coolie term came about. And they looked at us like animals. Like, look at those coolies. It's kind of the N-word.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
So it's more like that. So when they, like, you know, it's kind of like how the N-word was associated, like the word coolie, like, I even hate saying it. That word, like, represents, yes, it does have the history of Indo-Caribbean people, but the trauma our ancestors had to go through, like, you're talking about, like, getting thrown off ships before they even make the island, getting raped, murdered, like, you know, tortured, you know. Yes, you may hear, like, yeah, they got free land and stuff, but no, it's, come on, like, back then, those, what's called, you call it when they take over the island? That's the, those
colonization?
The colonizers, they didn't give up. They didn't give a fuck.
Settlers, no, they weren't settling.
They weren't settling
anything. Explorers, come on, boys. No,
honestly, they probably got fed up of their own women. That's why they started colonizing. No, you know what I mean? They were like, yo, we got to go find new girl, you know?
Same beer Karens.
Yo, exactly.
They're like, yo.
Karens in the cave, bro. Yeah, that
gets old after a few thousand years. Let me see what else is out there. What if they cross the sea?
No body, you know what I mean? Like,
just a hole in your back.
Exactly.
Everything flat, you know.
Board back,
But to the term, yes, to me, like, I know in Trinidad that we don't say coolie for that reason. We don't say it because it's a derogatory term.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people get slapped, punched out. There is some people out there that say it proudly. They even have songs about it. honestly, to me, I would never say it. I would never glorify it to make it seem like, hey, like, this is who I am. No, I'm a West Indian. I'm Trinidadian. Mm-hmm. Right? That I'm not coolie. I'm not what a colonizer called me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like Dave Chappelle, right? When he was doing the joke and he had a meeting with HBO and they're like, yo, we need an N-word to play this role. And he's like, well, I'm not an N-word.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it. So there is other places in the world that take pride in saying it because I guess it's like a F you to the colonizers. But based on the history I know, and plus with the name that I have, my name is Kyrie. Kyrie is actually the Carib name. It's actually part of the Kalinago language. Kyrie was the first name of Trinidad before it was colonized and renamed Trinidad by Christopher Columbus.
Okay.
So, you know, I take those roots serious. So me calling myself Cooley would never, ever happen.
So if someone else were to refer to you, like, say, like, oh, like, you're from the West Indies, and then they say that, I don't even want to say the word anymore, because now I feel like it's like N-word hard R. Like, that's how it feels now. The way you explain it, I'm like, yo, I kind of don't.
Yeah, that's basically it, right? So, like, if someone comes up to me and, like, let's just say, like, for example, someone that's not from the West Indies and not familiar with the history of it or the culture, and they're like, oh, you're Trini, so are you Cooley? Mm-hmm. I'll be like, I'm Trini, but let me just tell you about the word Cooley.
Oh, so you educate them right
away. Yeah, I'm like, yo, just don't, it's a derogatory term. Mm-hmm. And then leave it at that, and then they'll be like, oh, shit, well, my friends do it. I'm like, well, your friends can say whatever the hell they want. You know, mm-hmm. We live in a world where we have freedom of speech. In Canada, it's kind of complicated, but like anybody can do whatever the hell they want at the end of the day. Like, whatever I do shouldn't matter to him, shouldn't matter to you, shouldn't matter to everyone, and whatever you guys do shouldn't matter to me. Right? Mm-hmm.
So, I have one more question about Trinidad, because from what the research I've done, these people in India were told, like, yo, there's like a job opportunity, right? They weren't told where it was, and they kept going. They went from like India, around India, then they touched like the South Africa, like that coast, and then they came to the islands. Were you like, was your family able to kind of trace back their Indian roots? Like, do you know, for example, what part or what type of Indian you guys are?
No. So the thing is, like, with my mom's side, she's full on Indian, but, I think my grandma would probably know, but I'm not too sure, because I think my great grandparents, because my great grandma told me her grandparents were Indian, but on my dad's side we have a lot of mixed family. We have mixed with Spanish, we have mixed with Indian, we have mixed with black, we have mixed with, I'm not sure if Carib's in there. I could, like, I'm not too sure. I think one time my dad was telling me, but my dad would tell me a lot of things. But, like, on my dad's side, is very mixed. And the thing with Trinidad is, like, I don't think people really focus on the ancestry of, like, where they're from. Because you go to Trinidad now, it's very multicultural. Like, and not like Toronto where, you know, you see a bunch of different ethnic groups. It's everyone's mixed. Like, a lot of people are mixed now because you have Indian people there and black people. Black people there cover, I think, about 36%, and Indian people cover about 35-34%. So, you know, the country's gonna start becoming more mixed. And honestly, like, I have no problem with that. Like, I'm happy that's happening.
Saying you're pro Dougla.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yo, honestly, I love mixed women. I love mixed women. Like,
so Dougla is black and Indian?
Yes. That's also another derogatory term. I learned that later. But
there's beer shatties that have it in their Instagram.
Yo, shorties be spiced when I'm like, you're Dougla. Like, how do you know what that is? Yeah. So on. I'm like, yo, chill.
Yeah, no.
Can you get in beer?
No, we're international folks off that.
Yeah, so this guy's an international folk.
But it's funny because back in the day, like, the blackest shotty, like, blicks. Mm-hmm. She'll be like, oh, I'm mixed with Indian and Chinese.
It's in the hair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stop the cap.
Yeah.
Stop the cap.
Because everybody wants to be mixed now. It's
not derogatory, but it's just like, you're obviously, maybe like your great grandfather was like part Indian, but like, you can't try to claim, because before, like, people didn't want to claim African. They didn't want to claim black.
Wanted to claim. Yeah, like, it was like taboo to even like claim your Indian, black. Even back then, you didn't even want to claim you're from Toronto.
Because even now, there is a cool Indian culture, you know
what I mean?
And even now, like, the whole Afrobeat shit, like, you're actually proud to be African.
Yeah, but, not only that, like, yo, I'm, whenever I listen to, like, Afrobeat or I'm a Piano, I hear all the Bollywood samples, and I'm like, damn, that's sick. Crazy, I love that. Because I actually went to Africa. I went to Kenya back in 2017.
This guy's flexing on you.
We'll go one day. And when I went there, I was surprised. Because, you know, I was like, what, 19, I go there, I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna see, like, you know, African people, you know, just black people. I hop off the plane, it's all Indian people and mixed people, and I'm like, am I in Trinidad or like, where am I? And I just felt at home. It's just like, whoa, like, you know, there's so much mixed communities, and it shows, like, you know, like, around the world, it's not just one demographic controlling one continent, you know. There's mixed people everywhere.
People mixed. What's the relationship or the vibe like between Indo-Caribbeans and Indians from India? Like, is there like a tension, kind of like weird rivalry going on?
I wouldn't say a weird rivalry, because my best, like, one of my best friends, he's actually Indian. Like, he's from, I think he's Gujarati.
Gujarati, okay.
And he's like really cool. And, you know, I don't, like, to me, there is, I think, with the older generation, not with our generation, because our generation, I feel like they don't really care about it. And, you know, growing up in Toronto, you're very exposed to all these cultures and behaviors like that. So right now with the younger generation, no, but the older generation will probably, like, the older Indian generation will probably look at me like, I had a experience one time. I was at work, and they found out that I was Trini, and the whole atmosphere changed.
Well, because they thought you were Indian.
Yeah, they thought I was Indian. Like, you know, like, they put me in front, like, clients that speak Punjabi or Hindi, and they will start speaking to me, and I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, man. And they're like, where are you from? I'm like, Trinidad. And they're like, oh, Trinidad. and then they come saying a bunch of, oh, Chris Gayle, Dwayne Bravo, Chanderpaul, Narayan. I'm like,
Chanderpaul.
I was like, what? I was like,
that's a joke.
I was like, and then, yeah, I would just start to feel a little awkward after, because then they would start speaking in their language, and
yeah,
that's the only difficulty. But I don't think there's any problems with Indians and Indians in Toronto and West Indians in Toronto. Right?
I know what you mean by just growing up in Toronto, you're growing up around all these people.
Yeah.
Because the school I went to, there was like a lot of Indian kids. And I remember, I think it was my grade 7 dance. There was this like Indian shati. I don't know what it was like. Just like randomly, she just started being really into me.
Yeah.
So I remember this kid, the school dance is Guanan, right? Everyone's on the dance floor. There's like a couple tables set up.
Right.
So like we're just there sitting at the table. It's just me and her right beside each other.
Right.
Right. And obviously she's giving me like a hand job under the table.
No.
And she, wait, obviously.
Okay. I guess obviously. Like,
I didn't know that was
great
obviously.
Grade 7,
man?
Like, all right.
Well, I'm just saying, surprisingly.
I'm only saying obviously because like, literally everybody's on the dance floor and me and the shawty are just sitting right beside each other. Like, not my two hands are on the table. She has one hand on the table and like, we're not doing it. So like, as youths, we think we're being slick, but in retrospect, I'm like, hey, she's obviously giving me a hand.
Yeah.
And then like, the teachers are just allowing it. I'm just there like,
that's Toronto for you. That's Toronto for you back in the day still.
What did you ever like follow up with this girl like in adulthood?
Not really follow up, but like she did end up following me on Instagram, and then I followed her back, and like she was kind of cute back then, but she ended up growing up still. Like, she's one of those, you know, like those Daily Deji, I don't know how to say it.
Daisy
baddies? Yeah. Daisy baddies.
See, word. You might have to slide back on that still. Yeah, it's like, remember you jerked me off of grade 7?
All right. It's time for the real thing.
Open out your belly this time.
Okay, well, speaking of real things, Rick Ross got super jumped in Vancouver.
That was a different kind of hand jump.
You know what? Allow it, because I was kind of witty, but hey, yo.
No Diddy.
Yeah, he wasn't performing for a large crowd. I'm not sure if you saw the crowd that he was performing for. It was like still a respectable crowd. Like if any of us did it, it'd be lit. But like if you're Rick Ross, that's probably like,
it's kind of odd, like the events he's been doing as of late, you know, like all of.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like, is Rick Ross really
The big boss?
Yeah, because, like... Pause. Is Rick Ross really that guy? Because, I mean, you can post up all the shit you have, but when it comes down to performing...
Exactly.
You know, like, we're seeing it, like, hey, like, for me, like you said, for me, yo, that's fucking crazy. But for you, like, man, you performed at stadiums, man.
Yeah.
What's going on with you? Like, exactly.
So, like, maybe his investments are just doing superbly well.
It's just no one listens to Rick Ross no more, to be honest.
That is fair.
Like, I haven't listened to a Rick Ross song in about 6 years.
Dang. Yeah. I like Rick Ross, but he's always been, like, an association act where it's, like, he's part of this larger conglomerate, he's French, Montana, all these other guys.
He doesn't have his own glow to him. He would never be 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, Eminem. He'll never be that rapper. Yes, he has Maybach Music and his crew and all that, but I look at DJ Khaled more as a representation for Miami than Rick Ross.
That's fair.
So that's why I'll say, you know, Rick Ross, like, he moves like a guy, but if you're booking like Scotiabank Arena or the BMO Field yeah. or the Bell Center in Vancouver where he was performing, I think it was that. Wherever he's performing and you're booking such a big venue, like, bring DJ Khaled and your friends, man. Don't come alone because, like, yo, no one's coming to see you go, huh, for, like, no,
exactly.
half hour and you're already, like, breathing through 15 minutes.
So, if you are performing out of town and you only have a couple people with you and this altercation happens, are you fighting? Are you getting jumped with your DJ? Are you getting jumped with your hype man? Or are you wheeling out of there like Rick Ross did?
Like, what do you mean? Like, when shit goes down?
Yeah, when shit goes down. Like,
punches are thrown.
And, like, I'm leaving my people and I'm getting the fuck out of there?
Yeah.
Or you're fighting with them.
No, I'm fighting with them. Because, like, I brought them here. The fuck? Like, I'm going to let them fight by themselves? Like, no.
But, yo, you are the bag, bro. If anything happens to you, caught on camera, your career is done.
See, where the DJ's replaceable, but Rick Ross?
Oh, hold up. You're saying if I was in Rick Ross's position?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about now. Now it's a different situation.
Right now, it's like someone tries to jump us. We're fighting.
But, you know? No, if I was in Rick Ross's situation, I play smart with my moves. I'm like, you guys get your hits in. Have fun. Someone will see you guys next year.
Well, he has security, right? Like, you're paying for security to deal with that stuff. How are you even getting snuffed? You know what I'm saying?
Security's probably in on it too. Right?
And I feel like
Canadian security could be.
This probably also ties into, like, where is your money, bro?
Yeah.
Where is your money? You should have a crazy, especially, you know, you're talking all this shit. You're coming to Canada.
Yeah.
You should have the biggest, burliest, huskiest niggas, bro. So you can play Not Like Us while you're on stage.
Exactly.
No one could do nothing.
And yeah,
to me, it's like, I feel like that whole situation with Rick Ross, like, man, like, just hope DJ Khaled gets a Super Bowl performance and he puts you on, man, because, he's done.
Have you ever been jumped before?
Yeah, I have, definitely. This was in high school. It was over some jealous shit.
That's it, definitely.
No. Like, I feel like you don't learn, like, how to get that mentality, that, you know, that killer mentality until you've been at the bottom, like, you know, and if that means if, like, someone's kicking you down or some shit.
Literally. So, like, what happened? Like,
it was through, so it was my best friend at the time. Uh-oh. She was a girl.
Right? Oh, shit.
But we knew each other since we were, like, 11.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, we were, like, 17 now. And nothing ever happened. Like, nothing. Like, me and her were, like, brother, sister, basically.
Just, like, actual best friends.
Yeah, like, literally just like that. Like, you know, like, it would be weird if, like, you know, anything were to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Even to this day, like, you know, it would be weird. So, so what happened was she had a boyfriend at the time and some shit was going on. And I went to the washroom and he was there at the washroom.
Yeah.
So he start, you know, he sees me. And said, what up? Like, the fuck? Like, you know, like, I'm just here to fucking take a piss, wash my hands, and cut, right? Take my piss, wash my hands.
So you were trying to be like, yo, why are you messing up my best friend? Why are you cheating on my best friend?
Nah, I don't give a fuck. Listen, if you're my friend and you got relationship problems, don't bring that shit to me. You can ask me about your opinion. Do not bring that shit to me, okay? I don't care about your relationship problems. I don't care if your man do this. I don't care if your gal do this.
Mad.
That is your option. You live with it,
Mad.
Okay? Fair. But yeah, so what happened was he's like, yo, so you know I'm going to have to kick your ass, right? And I'm like,
what the?
I'm like, I didn't even know that, but I'm like, honestly, if you want, go ahead, bro, because you're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
And I was standing with him. We're going face to face. Like, it's just me and him, right?
In the washroom.
In the washroom. And we're like, yo, bro, pause. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
And then we're like, yo, like, do something. I'm telling him, do something, because, you know, in school, it was graduation year too, right? Yeah. So, like, if a man was to swing at me first, all hell is loose. I'm exactly. Like, yo, swing. I'm like, yo, do something, man. If you're not going to do anything, I'm just going to leave.
And then the stall doors open. His boys walk out.
Yeah, so that happened. And then...
Was that what happened?
No.
Where did these other guys come? Like,
No. There was no other guys that came around. There was people that came to, like, block me in from leaving.
So you got jumped by one person?
No, I got jumped from behind.
Okay.
So I was walking out. And then mans were blocking the exit to come out. And I was like, oh, okay, so this is what's going on. And grabbed me from behind. And honestly, he didn't get any punches in or anything. He just had me in a chokehold.
Yeah.
But I was coming out of the chokehold. Right? Yeah. So it was like, I was slipping out and all this. And then, like, he kept hitting, but he kept hitting himself. He didn't, like, I didn't feel any pain. But I just, the only thing I felt was the neck thing and on the ground. And he was like a big fucking guy. Like, I was like, well, 120? He's probably like 180. He's like a jock, high school jock, right? Mm. So you look at that situation.
Mm.
For someone to be 180 going after some MAGA kid that's like 120, 115, is it worth it?
Exactly. No.
And yeah, he had it. And, you know, the next week, let's just say things got handled.
I had
nothing to do with it.
I've been beat up a few times. Yeah. Let me tell you how I almost got jumped.
Okay.
Basically, I moved to Malton for a year in grade 9. So, like, I didn't really know anybody. Me, I'm just, like, a personable person. So, yeah. I got to know some shatties, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Turns out one of these shatties had, like, a boyfriend, you know? So, like, after I dealt with this shatty, I don't even know how word got out, you know? Like, but eventually word got out. So, him and his boys are cheesing at me. They drop a diss track.
Mm-hmm.
And, like... I'm actually...
Hold up, diss track?
Yeah. They drop
a diss... You're not even a rapper, though.
Who?
You.
Bro, back in the day, I was hot with the pen.
Oh, okay, what platform was this diss track dropped on, like SoundCloud, YouTube?
Okay, back in the day, I know we're using Facebook heavy.
Yeah, Facebook.
It's like a Facebook video.
Yeah, I was texting.
Facebook video with a picture and just
yeah, exactly, song exactly, and there
you
exactly,
fuck
exactly,
you, natural.
Exactly.
Just press play.
But like, I dropped something, bro. It was like crazy because it was literally a 1v20. Like, it was like a group of like 3 or 4 of them. And then I just murked them all in like a crazy verse.
Champagne natural, bro.
So, Mads were cheese. So, I remember I went to school the next day because like everyone was like hyping me up because I'm the new kid. No one was, bro. Once you're like the underdog, like, and you have any sort of victory, people like cheer you up, you know what I mean? So, I'm the guy. After school comes, I'm walking out. I'm like, why is there a big crowd out there? I'm walking out. So as I'm walking,
everyone's waiting for Nacho.
Yo, the crowd just opens and then the mans are there and shit, just waiting for me. So I know what time it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't even have friends like that. So I just start boogieing. And then these guys are chasing me and the school is chasing them. So it's like, bro, imagine like running from a herd, bro. Like a literal herd. And then like, fortunately,
because
like
Lion King, you know, when the fucking...
The bison's running down.
Oh my goodness.
Like, and Simba's running. That's him.
So God was telling me where to go because I don't know how, but I end up like running into my sister. She was with all her friends. And remember, I'm in grade 9. So these are all like grade 9, grade 10s. Mm-hmm. She's in grade 12. So she just, there were all these big people. So then I turn right around and I'm like, yeah, let's go right now.
You see what I got?
So then like we all just start tussling and shit, but like we obviously like outnumber them, so then like they end up like retreating and shit, and I'm like, whew, that was crazy close.
That's a movie type scene.
Yeah. No facts.
No.
All the times I got beat up is because like I thought I could fight, but I actually can't fight. You know what I mean? So I try going like some Kung Pao shit. And then like, they just end up just like...
You pull the crazy shit and then you're like, I hope they fall for that shit.
Oh, I remember one time I tried to do like a running fly punch. And then like, as I'm in the air, the man just... He punches me before I punch him. So I'm mid-air and then I get... It's like some anime shit. I get rocked down to the floor. It was just over from there still. But this is all in high school. I've never been rocked in my adult years.
No, never. Like, I think now, like, as people get older into the adult years, people can get mad and say a bunch of shit, but they'll never do anything.
Because there's real consequences to, like, violence. Like, you could literally kill someone with a punch if they fall on the ground, hit their head, concrete, internal bleeding. Like, there's real, like, applications to violence, too, where it's, like, sometimes the threat of violence is more impactful than actual violence. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think, like, internet gangsters... Like, do you think they know the consequences of the actions, or are there even consequences to the actions of internet gangsters?
I don't think so. No. I think they're hiding behind a keyboard screen, but I think a lot of times they could be, they can, it's like a law of power. Like, your threat can be perceived a way where it's like, you don't even have to get violent or like bring out a gun or whatever, because people's perception of you is that you're crazy and you might pop off. So let me just leave this guy alone.
I'll say something about internet gangsters, because this happened recently. So not gonna say no names or nothing like that, because it's dead under the water now. You know, I have respect for some people. So but what happened was, you know, I had an opinion about something. Natural probably knows about this, but I had an opinion about something.
Your opinions, people don't like opinions.
They don't like opinions.
Wait, I want to know what this opinion was on.
It was just about something that I thought was, you know, corny. So
okay, so you just thought something was corny.
Yeah, that's it. You know what I mean? And you know, I have like a lot of people I talk to in Trinidad. So you know, this, if you follow me, it's gonna come up on your feed. And you know, this person I talk to in Trinidad, you know, have a good conversations with them. So I put up a Ask Me, because I used to do the Ask Me stuff, and they asked a question and about this thing, and I'm like, oh well, I just thought it was corny. And I just got hit with a bunch of messages the same day. So
the person who created this thing you thought was corny caught feelings, basically.
Yeah, I didn't think they were corny. I just thought the thing they had was corny, right?
Yeah, the piece of content.
Exactly. So they started messaging me, getting super defensive, you know, saying a bunch of shit. So I was like, all right, whatever. I'm like, I have no time to entertain this. Like, yeah, you know, I straight up said, I don't give a fuck. Like,
in they're talking grimy, like.
Yeah. They're talking like, you know, like, oh, you're a bum. Like, you're washed. You're mad because this person died. And I'm like,
I never thought death threats were real. Like, when I hear
somebody talking about. No, it wasn't a death threat. It wasn't a death threat, too.
Okay, I've gotten death threats before.
Yeah, I've gotten death threats, too. But honestly, I laugh at those ones.
No, exactly. They're the ones that are the most hilarious. A lot of the times it's
hilarious. So that happened. So there was a party the next day. And I was at this party. They were at this party.
Mad.
And we entered at the same time. I was in a group ahead of them. And I know they saw me. They know I saw them. Nothing popped off. Nothing. Not one word was said to me.
After all the talking.
After all the talking, calling me a bum, saying, you know, you're washed, this and that. Like, nothing. Nothing was said. So, you know, I go to my booth and, you know, my regents and I were like, yo, let's go for a walk around the party, right? So we go. We're in the VIP, so we leave, go to General, and they have a booth in General. But we're just walking around. We're looking for Gal to bring back the VIP, because you know that you got VIP booth. You gotta pick up some Gal and bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
So as we go, I see them there, and I also see the head honcho of the whole thing. Head honcho nods at me. I nod at him. Nothing. Cool. From that point on, I'm like, all right, I could go about my business. Y'all could go about yours. Boom. I didn't even give a fuck in the first place. I just said it was corny. Y'all. I don't know if y'all loved me or anything like that and got hurt, but that's what happened.
Funny thing. Sorry.
But like, yeah, you go to the next day now. I'm looking at my phone. I'm getting a bunch of messages. People that I hang out with are getting a bunch of messages asking about me. Yo, do you fuck with Kyrie? Yo, what the fuck is going on with Kyrie? Blah, blah, blah. Like this. They're asking about me to get to me. And then I got one message saying, keep running your mouth. You're gonna see me, kid. And I'm like, I was at the party yesterday. I saw you already.
I saw you already.
Like, bro, like, you guys, like, none of them did anything. And now it's dead under the water, because if you're not gonna do anything to me the day of seeing me and come at me the day after, I'm like, all right, I know this is gonna keep going on of the trolling and the harassment and stuff like that. I've been there before. So I just made a call to a few people, and that was just
jeez. Like, and I got ties.
I wouldn't say it's ties, but you know, it's just that, like, I'm grateful to have respect for those kind of people, mm-hmm. and I'm grateful to get their respect back. Exactly. You know, it's a mutual ground. I don't cross lines or disrespect anyone like that. So,
funny thing about internet gangsters and stuff. Have you guys seen the story of that gamer who actually pulled up on his virtual op? Basically,
oh yes, 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 I heard about that.
Bro, yeah, they're gaming. The man's talking shit for time. Mm-hmm. So the man actually booked a flight to his address and like, okay, trigger warning, literal trigger warning. The man shot him dead in his crib, bro.
Oh shit, I didn't.
I'm not sure if he shot him dead, but he did shoot him. He did shoot him, bro. That's over PS5 banter, bro.
So comes down to the question for this is actually a good question right now. Are words worth dying over?
I'm gonna go with certain words, yeah. Like if you have like a belief and someone's dissing your belief, you should fend it to an extent. Mm-hmm. But to die over, I don't know, man. Because death, you can't come back from death. You know, so like you can always just allow words. You can always just be like, whatever, that's what you said. You can't take everything so personal. Mm-hmm. But like there are some men who will crash out if you say like a certain sentence. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like yes, because if someone says, I am going to pick up this knife and kill you.
Okay, yeah, that's
a threat.
Those are words.
Yeah.
Those are words.
Those are fighting words.
Are you gonna wait for them to act upon these words?
I would say more so in a situation of like, yo, you're fucking pussy, bro. Blah, blah, blah.
Insults. Like yeah, let's say insults.
Nah. Just like,
I think the world is too fucking soft these days. I think it's way too soft.
Well, like, it's a sticky one, because if you look back in the day, like, honor was a big thing, you know what I mean? Like, words could be treason, you know what I mean? So, like, if you are conspiring against the queen or the king, you could die for that shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like it's just the way of human nature, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is the way we communicate. If you're miscommunicating with somebody, like, it's not connecting, then it could have, like, an eruption type thing.
And think about like for people who've died because they were like martyrs, they exposed the system.
Yeah.
They were willing to die for their words. They're like, that's no, this is corrupt. This is like, I'm exposing the system. Boom. So I think there are definitely words to die over, but insults, like, especially if you plan on being successful one day, you're bound to face like so many insults. Yeah. Like, you know how many insults like Drake probably gets a day in his DM?
Do you remember when Drake, the rumors came back, but when Drake first came out, when he was doing the interviews with Vivo and all them, I just remember seeing the comments saying, hey, yo, Drake is fruity. Like, yo, like, who is this guy? Like, this is the guy that I've been bumping? Like, what? Like, you know, people were like thinging, and I mean, Drake could have did something, but he didn't, and look at him now, right?
He probably just sometimes I feel like he even plays into it. Like he understands like the meme culture around his brand, and he like leans into it. Like he knows he's gonna be a meme. But speaking of Drake, Natural, you brought up this topic. Did Drake lose all his friends and EG PopCon? So there was an article, this was last year, but it pretty much said that like PopCon wanted to get out of OVO. Mm-hmm. Like he was kind of done with it.
Yeah.
And Natural, you were saying that this is kind of part of like a bigger umbrella problem with OVO, right?
Yeah, because even if you look at the projects that PopCon released under OVO and the projects he released by himself, the numbers are far different. Like he sells way less under OVO, much like all of the artists under OVO. You know what I mean? Like
PopCon's track under OVO, if it doesn't have Drake in it, it doesn't get pushed.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And that's the same with all of the artists under OVO. If Drake's not on the song,
Roy Woods. And did you ever hear about the story about I Love Makonnen and Drake? Like what happened with that?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, like, you gotta be, like, that right there can already show you what the record label is. Is it really there to promote artists or halt artists? And that's one situation, right?
Because, like, they literally said, oh, you have to delete all your previous songs before you sign this contract. Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck? Like,
And I think that's bullshit because now you're becoming a product of them and you lose everything you have.
Exactly.
Like, you know, your fan base is gonna be like, but what the fuck? Like, let's say I get signed to OVO. I don't want to, but I mean, I'm a fan of OVO, but
is that a tattoo?
Yeah.
Oh.
Music I'm building up right now. So.
Oh my goodness.
EXO on there.
EXO,
G-Unit. Oh, you're down to sign to a bunch of people.
these are like, definition of music of what made me want to do music.
I rate that. Yeah,
gotta
yeah.
Get, like Shady. I got Get Rich or Die Trying on here. Mm. You know?
That's lit.
So I'm still building it.
I should know. That would have been crazy. I was gonna say you're not gonna put Natural on there, but yeah, I don't want
to. Nah. Chill. That's crazy. Chill. We're dogs, fam. We have a picture. That's good enough.
Bro wanted a tattoo. What kind of cult leader are you, bro?
Tell like y'all that, fam. Yeah. Bro, tell like y'all that. Facts, y'all will do that for sure. Try to tat it on her forehead if it's real. But yeah, with OVO, man, like...
If you were to sign, offered you a late record deal, what would you say?
I would say no. I would say no in my like as the initial response. But if they actually presented to me in a way where it's like, all right, you're going to have to delete all your songs when you come to our camp. This is it. I'm like, no, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Right?
Because look at Majid Jordan. What push are they getting? Roy Woods, when was his last
exactly hit, and you know, like if they came to me with a deal or any artist with a deal, like, all right, we know that you have a bunch of songs that came out already. They're not polished. Sign to us, we will master the tracks and we release it. And I got that mentality from The Weeknd when he signed to Republic.
Exactly.
Because when he signed to Republic, they took all his mixtapes and consolidated it into one album.
The trilogy.
Right, everyone says trilogy. I'm an OG EXO fan, so when people say trilogy, I'm like, you mean House of Balloons, Thursday, Echoes of Silence? Like, you know, like I still call it by that name because I've been listening from time. But that's what I'm saying. I'm like, yo, if it's like, if it's a situation like that where they remaster all my stuff and put it out as a package and get it commercially out there, I'm okay with that. And then we could crunch numbers and then go forward. You know, with these deals, you also have to speak up for yourself too. Right?
Do you think it's even worth it signing to a label these days?
For depending on what you want, like touring and stuff. Like I would approach it like Master P. I don't care about you funding my music videos. I don't care about you funding my studio time. I can do that. Let's go on tour. Let's make money on tour. That's how we're going to get to different places and stuff like that. And
but
distribution money, my bad. The distribution money is where the deals are. That's the deals that people want.
But does that make sense for the label? Because that's how they trap their artists. They want you to spend $100,000 on the music video. They want you to have a $5 million budget.
They
so,
do.
So when your album only sells $1 million, now you owe us $4
million. And we can drop you and now you can't go to another.
And now you have to go on tour just to pay back this loan. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It is a messed up system. But yo, here I see Majid Jordan. They're doing like a world tour from late November. Oh no, that already passed. Okay, so we don't know what they're saying right now.
Would you be able to pull up to see like what venues they were performing at?
No, but you're probably like, what are you saying? Like, they're probably like not huge.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You know, like, I know a lot of artists do like for example, that Toronto, Ontario one. I don't think they're doing Scotiabank Arena. Are they?
Yo, it's crazy if like local DJs could get the same pull as like OVO artists.
Local DJs could get the same pull as OVO artists. Yes.
Because if you look at the venues that they're doing, these are the same venues that like
hire these.
Like Caruza, bro, they're doing like, what's that new venue that Drake, History?
History, yeah.
They packed out that venue, bro. Mm-hmm.
Bro, the seating capacity, for example, for their Seattle show, I just seen it, 1,800.
Yeah, so you know.
They're smaller shows.
Yeah, so they're on the Rick Ross kind of vibe.
The bar mitzvah tour.
Yeah.
Bar mitzvah tour.
Hey, but yo, honestly, it's no hate. Like, honestly, good luck. Like,
still
honestly,
a career,
I
man.
I wish I was them. You know, I wish I was doing that. I wish I could perform in front of 1,800, 2,000 people.
Oh, man, that's like a huge deal it for is, me if I were to do
you
that.
You know, like...
I perform for way less.
And I think, like, another thing, too, is that the pressure that comes with being an artist once you sign to OVO, could you see how Drake glorifies his tour? It's like, yes, the whole stadium. So why aren't your artists doing that?
Exactly.
Because, like...
Yo, if you look at DJ Fling, he's, like, what, 20 years old?
Mm-hmm.
When he does Fling Fest, he gets thousands of people, bro.
Yeah.
You're telling me DJ Fling is getting more people than Majid Jordan?
That's crazy.
What the fuck is Guanin, bro? OVO, like...
OVO, y'all need to go back to the marketing board and get rid of the slavery thing. Cause it's not cool. It's not cool.
So is OVO a true label in that sense, or is it more of an extension of Drake? extension, as opposed to like its own entity. You know what I'm saying? Or is exactly. It just to serve Drake more? Yes. It's not really like to build these guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
exactly.
Also, don't forget OVO is tied up with Cash Money and Young Money, and I think Universe Records.
Yeah.
So, I mean, signing to them, you're giving your stuff to an extra three labels.
Exactly.
So that's another problem too, right?
Exactly.
It's an imprint of Warner Records.
Oh,
Warner.
Sorry. There you go.
So, and Sony Music as well, and Republic, which is that Drake? I don't know.
Okay, see, like, even their OVO page doesn't make sense. Like, why is one saying Warner, next one saying Republic, next one saying Sony? Like, I don't get it.
And
Warner and Universal are like...
Oh, I think Republic distributes just Drake's music, and the rest of them are with Sony.
Okay, that makes sense.
But speaking of OVO, this is another natural question. Is Party Next Door tender? I'm just saying it like that because some of that I wouldn't say. So, and ultimately, would you fight a man over your ex-girlfriend? So,
yo, Party, you made Savage Anthem, bro. Where is that Party at, bro? That Party will never ever cry over his ex Ting being in a Chris Brown video, my nigga.
Man.
You made Options. You made grown ass woman. I thought she was a grown ass woman, broski. Like,
she looked like a grown ass woman here. Guys.
You should know. You should already know Wagwan, Party. Like, this, when I seen this.
Was she with him while she was in the video, or was like they broken up or some shit like that? Like,
I think they were already broken up.
But Party, at the end of the day, you're not Chris Brown. You're not crazy. Chris Brown, man. Like, that's crazy. He's not.
He's Chris way better. Chris Brown's way better than
Chris
PND.
Chris Brown is way better than PND, fam.
Well, obviously.
Like, so how's it crazy?
As crazy as in, like, yo, I don't give a fuck who you are. If that's my current girl, then like it could be smoke.
No. I'm talking about the ex situation. If it's a current girl, then then like, it's
super
give a fuck
smoke.
Who you are.
Yeah.
But like.
An ex?
If it's an ex-girlfriend and Chris Brown has her in the video, who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? And then you're going to go after Chris Brown because, yo, that's my ex-girlfriend, bro. That's not cool.
That's my
who gives a fuck, man?
But bro, you know when you're done with a shawty, you don't want her to have nothing. You don't want her to have no opportunities. You want her to be worse off than when she was with you.
I mean, then you know what? Then you know what that shows? That shows PND's... personality, right? It shows what kind of guy he is. And now girls are like, oh, fuck. If I fuck with him, I can't fuck with anyone else.
He has an interesting story with Lotto. Did you hear about... So they used to date. And she found like a bunch of Polaroids of him with like other girls while they were dating. Like she found it in his work bag. And she went on some interview and talked about it. And she was shook.
So like if he's doing all this shit, then like why are you pressed over a video? This guy's went in the crash out. And then Chris Brown said, Wagwan then.
Yeah, no, I give it to Chris Brown because that's one guy that can move like Michael Jackson and 50 Cent in one setting.
That's why Party apologized. Yeah. He's like, oh, wait, not you. But I feel like he should have just brought the smoke to Bryson Tiller. Jeremiah's from Chicago and shit. You don't really want...
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with Jeremiah. Jeremiah's with it.
Jeremiah's different, bro.
Jeremiah's a G.
But bro, like, when are we going to start like getting... upset at the girls in the situation. Like, if your ex is in a Chris Brown music video, that's on her, bro. Yeah. These guys that's probably put out an ad. Like, I don't know, maybe they targeted her and were like, we want to get PND's ex because we want to send a message. That's possible. But that's also on her for, like,
accepting
that,
you know,
offer. You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, some of these... Gal, sorry, but some of y'all... I mean, guys too, but more gal. Some of y'all make decisions with a lot of... anger towards.
Yeah, they be malicious,
your bro. They
move out of
spite
for real.
Yeah, super like, spiteful. Yo, you're like, oh, okay, so her ex is PND. Chris Brown? Oh, this guy's a bigger artist. This guy's everywhere, you know what I mean? All right.
Listen, women everywhere. You fucking somebody else. Yes, it'll make us feel away from like a week, but we'll forget about it. That body stays with you forever. That energy signature stays with you forever.
So, I mean, personally, would I fight a man over my ex? Hell no, bro. You could keep her. I know I'm good looking. I could go get any gal I want. I could get a better gal than her.
Yo, sure did we get niggas killed, though.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that.
I remember one time I was with my ex. Like, this is when we were together. This is like after a night in the club. Mm-hmm. We're going to get some pizza and shit. We're waiting in the line. She's drunk and shit. She tried to bud the line. as she's butting the line, she's cussing the people that she's butting and shit. And then, like, if anything happens, I'm the one that's going to have to deal with it.
You have to fend everything.
I have to do, like, a flying punch. You know what I mean?
This
like,
brings me back to the Andrew Tate question, that Andrew Tate scenario.
Oh, where, when he walked into that shop and then there was those and gangsters. And this
girl's like, are you going to say anything? He's like, shut the fuck up.
No, I have to do one of those stuff. It's like, yo, go on easy. Just go on easy. Because, like, you're not doing this to another girl. You're doing this to a group of guys that I'm going to have to deal with. Like,
and, you know, want to know what's crazy? Let's say that shit did went down. Did it go down?
No,
it
didn't go down.
But if it did go down, probably a week or two later, you probably would have saw, like, see her with them.
That is extreme.
Nah. My shot took it, never do that to
okay,
me.
Okay.
And these are like hockey guys, you know what I mean? Oh, so they would have loved to pummel, like, bro.
Yeah,
you know the story they would have told back home, dog? Oh, that would have been sweet for them.
Yeah.
It's like, we jumped this black dude because his girl was...
hey, bud, you got a dart there, bud?
Stopped him right in front of his girl.
Buddy, we were just smoking a dart, minding our business, and this girl, like, yo, it would be crazy.
And this fucking black bitch. It's like, whoa.
And we look over and we see her boyfriend, and we're like, buddy, it's on.
Like, oh, yeah.
Real jungle guy. He had this wild hair and stuff. Real jungle guy.
I think his name was like Natterol or something like that. Natterol.
Oh,
yeah. He's fucking gnarly, dude.
Hockey players are wild. Speaking of players.
Oh, man.
This is a good transition, eh?
Got to catch another flight.
Yo, it's actually going pretty smooth.
That's why I like having the list. Okay, so Players Play, popular Toronto-based podcast.
Yes. Big up Players Play. I met them on Sunday at a fashion show.
Mm.
I met one of the guys part of it. Big up Players Play. They're real cool people.
Mm.
I support their business. I support their podcast. Everything that they're doing, it's honestly great. I love how they give back to the culture and promote the culture. You know, they're always doing something different and they're doing things original.
I was gonna say, do you want to shout out?
No. Listen, I'm someone who gives their flowers. Right?
That's fair.
Right, Natural, you know damn well I give your flowers like almost every quarter of the year.
Fair, respect.
So, yeah, I'm someone. If I see it, and I'm a supporter too, so I want everyone to fucking make it.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So, when I saw this, I was impressed. I was like, damn, because they were selling these little card games, and I'm like, that's actually pretty sick. And they show me the game, and I'm like, all right, cool.
Is it still they, though? Because if you look at the recent episodes, like a bunch of them, it's only the guy host. The girl is not there anymore.
You're talking about Simply Cast with 3 S's.
Yep, exactly.
Cast with a K. Beautiful woman.
Mm.
And like, if I remember correctly, Players Play is not on their Instagram anymore. So like...
I mean,
we should tell her to join our pod, eh?
Nah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Well, apparently, Vasca told her uncle or some shit.
We should definitely tell her to join the pod then.
I guess we're to the point, like, I don't really haven't really paid too much attention to it.
Yeah, I didn't know until you noticed it.
The reason why I even want to talk about this topic is, have you ever like worked with a woman and like does male female dynamics like does that always work out? If you look at most like even podcasts where it's like that, it always falls out.
Yeah, I think men and women could work together and be platonic, to be honest. I've been there. There's a girl I worked with. I'll actually give her a shout out. It's called SK. If y'all seen the Bonita video, like that's where I knew, because we actually ended up becoming like good friends. And so I think men and women, if you are strictly there for business, then yes. But if you are like, you know, the minute you meet someone what their intentions are, like, you know, like, you'll know if a girl's like, okay, well, you know, I'm here to work, but I can think. But to me, it's like, for example, like with SK, like, yo, when we first met, it was just strictly business. You know, we did all this work and we ended up working together more. And then, you know, it just stayed as that. And we just became friends, like, you know, like, cool with her people. She's cool with mine. So, you know, it's like, I feel people can do it. You just need to lay that beforehand.
Yeah, set like, the boundaries. Like, yo, like,
if,
yeah.
If you're trying to smash a girl that you work with, either music video, podcast, little TikTok reels, whatever the hell you guys want to do. And y'all are like, and y'all smash. I mean, y'all didn't really say the groundwork, like, hey, this is strictly business.
Do you think it ruins the dynamic?
Oh yeah,
definitely. Yeah, definitely. Always.
If you get linked with a girl, romantically, especially in a workplace environment, oh yeah, that's definitely something. Because now you're seeing her like from before, you're seeing her business side. You're like, oh okay, but then when you see the personal side, you're like, oh shit, like I gotta take a step back. You're a professional more. This is you personally, right? And then you get to see, like, everyone has flaws, right? So they see your flaws, you see theirs, and then that's when all the commotion starts to come about, and then the relationship kind of deteriorates from there.
Yeah, I find that if it's like a coworker, for example, you have all these months of tension where it's like you guys want to smash each other, then you finally do it, and now it's like that tension's deflated.
Post-nut clarity.
The post-nut clarity, and like now it's like super awkward. Like you'll never get back, like, to that friendship flirtiness that you had.
I gotta go to work and see her again.
But like,
it depends.
Isn't it so blessed? Like when you have. Like that thing at like
the accessibility, like the proximity.
You
see it every day, 9 to 5.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I've actually had a situation like
quickie in the back room.
I used to work with a girl and we used to smash at work and shit. But then, like I said, it all starts off with like, yeah, we're just gonna have fun, and then a month later, oh, I'm starting to get feelings for you, and you're like, what the fuck? I thought we were just doing this, you know? And then it just got super awkward. And I mean,
yeah, I've never met one.
I was fortunate that she didn't get crazy, and you know,
so. I've never met one girl that said, oh, we'll just keep this cool, no feelings,
and stuck to it.
Exactly. Yeah. I've never met one.
Yeah, because
we always fall for it.
Yeah, because if a woman's willing to smash you an unlimited amount of times, like, she's probably down to
unequivocally.
Yeah, like, bro, like, not even a 1-2 times, like, whenever you want, yeah. Like, she probably wants you to wife it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Or she would, yeah, she would be in a relationship with you.
Like, yo, if you call her at 4:30 in the morning and she's like, yeah, I'll come through. Yeah, she's saying, yo, wife me.
I have had a shorty that caught feelings but didn't want the relationship though. You know, but like it was two instances actually, and both shorties obviously had a man in the bin, so like I don't know if it was just like
like a temporary band-aid kind of thing,
temporary convenience.
You know what I mean? This guy's giving him practice for the conjugal business.
And also, like, because I have no ties to the streets, you know what I mean? So it's probably like a safe escape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I don't have to deal with no polys, no nothing. Like, yeah. I can actually just like smash, have a good time. We can like talk about House of the Dragon, like Game of Thrones and shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then like she could go back to the goons and the gangsters.
Yeah, have fun. Come enjoy this side. And then when you're ready, go back on that side.
Yeah, I'm sure that side always works. Kyrie, I want to ask you, this is one of the topics you want to discuss. So themed events. Mm-hmm. So is this like a big thing in like dancehall, soca scene? Are you talking about themed events just as a whole, like 70s, 80s parties?
Could have did a better segue with that one.
That one wasn't a good segue.
Wait, what happened? You guys went to like a 70s, 80s event?
Oh, no.
You're just dissing my segue, even though it was sick.
It just feels like some parties, like, I understand some theme, like the 80s themes and 90s themes, like, those are okay because, you know, they're setting for a certain demographic.
Yeah.
But, like, the parties where you're, like, try not to say anything to get in trouble, but fuck it.
Shit.
Like, no, like, any parties that have themes of, like, come looking like this, dress like this. Like, the only thing, if you're in your 20s, like, unless you really love 80s.
So, like, all white?
All white's okay. I understand.
I was going to say, that's like the big one.
No, all white is okay. You can't say nothing about that. All white is okay. Depending, though, where you're throwing it. Mm. Like, if you're throwing it in a little, like, lounge, like restaurant in day, club by night, place. Nah.
What if it's on a boat?
If it's on a boat, yeah, fuck yeah.
Valid.
Yeah, that's hard. That's valid.
Like, you know, me, I like my luxury shit. So if we're on a boat, yeah, you best bet I'm dressing like very like white, or I'm going all out with it. Like, you know? But the themes I'm talking about, like, you know, hey guys, like, y'all gotta wear this color, or y'all gotta wear this on this hat or
denim something. And Clarks.
Denim and Clarks or some shit like that. I don't know if that's an event. I just made that up.
I don't know if that's an event,
but you probably started something. But like, you know, like shit like that where it gives you a feeling of high school. We're in our 20s right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why the fuck are we still partying like high school kids?
That's fair.
It doesn't make sense. That's fair. Like, oh, fuck. All right, cool. Now I got to go buy this fucking color. Or I got to go get this fucking bracelet or some shit. Like,
but you don't think it's kind of cool to, like, everyone in a uniform type shit? Like, when the pictures come out, everyone looks like...
It looks like
we're... some nasty shit.
Yeah, it looks like we're all working in a fucking factory, man. Like, hey, look. All right, like, for example, let's say everybody wear fucking orange. All right, now we all look like a fucking... What's it called?
Orange?
Yeah, we all look like a fucking orange. Like, yo, you're looking at the stage, you're on top of the stage, and you're looking at the crowd, it just looks like a fucking loaves of bread just everywhere, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? To me, I feel like theme parties, like, it depends on what it is that you're doing, like all white parties on a boat, all white parties at like a lakefront kind of venue. Sure, no problem. But like, you're doing something in a little like restaurant stuff, whatever. Like, to me, it's like, I don't fuck with it.
I kind of like themed events, I'm not going to lie, but it's also because, like...
Like I said, like, it's everyone's opinion.
Yeah. Right, so. I find that, like, I'm not, like, super, like, stylish, per se. Like, I'm not, like, a big fashion guy. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty, like, simple when it comes to my fashion.
Yeah, I'm a fashionable.
You want to, like, rock your own swag, exactly. Right? Where it's like, oh, you're actually telling me what I need to wear? Bless. Like, yeah. You know, like, everyone's going to look like this, so okay, you know? And then you got to make it your own, too. But hey. I also like the music aspect of a themed event where it's like, oh, okay, like, if I want to hear... like retro 90s hip hop and this party is gonna focus on that, like, okay, I'm gonna go for that too. But I feel like in general our non-themed events have to be better, and I think that's where it's like people will use themed events because like the regular events aren't hitting, but themed events usually like people get more into it, even like a Halloween party, like people get super into that,
included, right? And that goes back to the whole how Toronto needs to fix up with the crowds.
I was about to say, is it our events need to be better or like our crowds need to participate more?
Crowds need to participate more, man. And I just want to say this before we get to the next topic. I'm not saying don't go to these themes events. I'm not saying don't support any of these events. Do whatever the fuck you guys want to do. This is my opinion, my view, right? If you guys have a fucking problem with it, honestly, shut the fuck up
your
and
mother.
Yeah, real shit. Go suck your mother and done. Hold all your mother cunt. How about that? I'll do it Trinidad. You do Jamaican, I do Trinidad.
I lie.
Okay? Hold all your mother cunt, because at the end of the day, I could do whatever the fuck I want to do. Y'all could do whatever. I'm not saying, I'm not God. I'm not saying don't go to theme events or I don't like theme events, so you can't go to theme events. I have friends, really close friends, that go to these theme events all the time. And I see it, right? So it's like, you know, you guys do whatever the fuck you guys want to do. I'm not going to be there.
Yeah.
What's the Turkish way to say suck your mother?
I wouldn't say suck your mother. Yeah, I would say something else.
Like, not a direct translation, you know, but the essence of it.
Yeah.
Ebeninki.
Jeez, what does that mean?
It means like I'm fucking the nurse that delivered you when you were born. But it's super disrespectful. Oh, yeah. Shit. It's like holy that. Someone will fight you.
Wait, well, how do you say that again?
Ebeninki.
Ebeninki.
Yeah.
I'm saying that sometimes. Yeah.
Bro, so if you say that to a Turkish person, like it's like it's on site.
Yeah.
I don't know why. You could say I'm on a koyotum, but that means just like I'll put in your ass. And it kind of sounds gay in English.
It's a
fighting word too, though. I don't know, for Turks. I don't know.
That's definitely like a white man insult
story. it is white people love to fuck around with that shit.
I'll put it in your ass, hey, watch out.
Hey, like, I will fuck you.
WWE back in the day when they used to do all the threats and stuff in the ring and shit, they'll be like, yeah, well, this is gonna go up your ass, and I'm like, what the fuck? How is that a threat, man?
Sounds like a good time.
Wait,
hold on.
buddy, Pride was last month, man.
Oh, in July now? Oh, shit. No duty.
My bad. I wanted to ask, this actually came up as you said that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's cool, I ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about, I think Caribbean Heritage Month is June, right?
Oh, really? I didn't even know.
No, sorry. Men's Mental Health Month. Mental Awareness Month.
Okay.
Health Awareness Month is in June.
Mm-hmm.
And Pride Month is in June. How do you guys feel about Pride getting more of the recognition than men's mental health.
I feel like the whole like awareness months and stuff, like they're all nominal, like they're not really real.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? These are like,
wait. Because Black History Month
is a social construct.
You don't think that it holds significance?
I didn't say it wasn't significant or there wasn't cultural value. I'm just saying like these are just like given
cultures,
celebrations for the month, you know, right. Like, oh, today is Mother's Day, tomorrow's Father's Day. Like, these are all like social constructs. They're not like real in like a universal sense.
Wait, are you telling me Christmas is not real?
Christmas is not real still.
Oh. There's no Santa Claus?
Damn, man.
There's no Santa Claus.
No elves working in the shops. None of that, man.
Nah.
That's crazy.
A lot of these are actually designed.
Who's giving me all my cookies, man?
A lot of these like holidays or celebrations are actually designed for like consumerism. You know what I'm saying? Valentine's Day. No, that's not true. A real thing, bro. That's like a Roman Catholic friggin' pagan celebration.
And I'm joking about Christmas, but even Christmas, like, oh, this white man comes and gives you a gift. You know what I mean?
Even
like,
the history on that is all fucked up.
So. Yeah.
Like, and that's a pagan thing, too. Yeah.
Thanksgiving, you know what I mean?
It's a pagan holiday.
What are we giving thanks for?
They're all nominal. It would be cool if there was like a more concentrated form of men's mental health awareness month. I thought Pride used to just be a weekend. Now it's the whole month.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know what I'm saying?
It was like, it's like, look at August. Sorry, that's the month I got confused with Caribbean Heritage Month. In August, I think it's August or July. One of them, John Tory said some shit when he was in power. But one of the months out of the year. But if we compare how they put Pride in and how they do the Caribbean Heritage Month, I can't speak for like other things for obviously not unrelatable stuff, but with, I always see Pride getting like bank sponsors and, you know, all this, like, hey, you wanna do if you're gay or lesbian or whatever, you get these benefits.
But here's some money.
But you have to remember, like, okay, Pride represents a community, and there are members of these communities in high-ranking government, high-ranking banking, in all facets of these institutions.
Yeah.
Where are the Caribbean people in these high-ranking government, in these high institutions, that are willing
and there
to go on the front lines?
But
you know
here's
what I
the
mean?
Thing. There is Caribbean people in those positions. It's just, are they going... When are they... Because if I was in that position, I would try my best to get more coverage for Caribbean Heritage Month. And if they're in that position, why aren't you guys doing it? Is someone holding you guys quiet? It comes to conspiracy.
Because look at Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. When he was running, you know what I mean? He was making a lot of promises, and he only delivered the promises to one community. Mm-hmm. It was not the black one.
I think the people you were talking about, like Caribbean people in positions of power, I feel like they kind of tone it down to not offend like their colleagues and stuff, because they can't be like too diehard Caribbean because it might feel offensive to other people, which is kind of stupid. But
so check this out. I used to work in a corporate place and we're talking about like real one of like, you'll know it and you'll be like, what the fuck? So like, and whenever it came down to me being Caribbean at work, that's like, I used to braid my hair and all stuff. And, you know, I would look like I'm from Trinidad. You know what I mean? And they'll look at, because they all think I'm Indian. And then when I braid my hair, they're like, why are you braiding your hair? Like, you can't be doing that. And I'm like, I'm from Trinidad. I like, even me being from Trinidad, it's my hair. I could do whatever the fuck I want with it. You know what I mean? And when it came down to surveys or like meetings and stuff, you know, surveys will have, are you gay, straight, whatever, right? Straight. Come down to the cultural, are you white, black, Asian, native, Latin, all this, but Caribbean. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And then I'm like, well, I can't put South Asian because I've never been to South Asia or India in my life. Black, they have in like in a bracket Caribbean, and I'm like, but like I don't really claim I'm black. Mm-hmm. Like, I never go around saying
that's
I'm
crazy.
Black.
You don't consider yourself black?
I would consider, but okay. You know,
I don't need to phrase it like that.
No.
Wait, are you black?
From my
like, you don't look black to me, brother.
No, that's exactly why. Because
you don't think he's black?
at all, no.
But that's exactly why, because my dad's side, so my grandma, she's from a mixed family, and we have black, Indian, Spanish.
Right? Okay.
We have all that there. So that's part of my bloodline.
Yeah.
But, you know, just for, like, if you say I'm not black, then I'm going to say, let me tell you about me.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason why I don't go around saying I'm black, because I'm not fully black.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to that situation. Remember when you said, like, the girl was like, yo, my great-great-grandfather is Indian and this, that. I'm like, honestly, I could go around saying that, but I know who I am at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right? So if whoever, like I said, I get looked at as Indian more than black, Trinidadian, obvious reason. But to me, it's like, I feel like I don't care to say, like, hey guys, this is my whole race. I'm this. Like, I don't care to do that. I'm Trinidadian.
Uh-huh.
You go back to Trinidad, you see the people are mixed. That's what I represent. I'm Trini. Right?
I respect
I'm not black,
that.
I'm not brown, none of that. I'm Trini.
So, like, identity wise, you identify with Trinidad, but you don't, like, do you identify with black people? Because, okay, because I always, like,
of course,
I seen you as black, you know what I mean? Like,
of course,
even earlier when you were saying, oh, the N word, I'm like, oh, maybe he's just like censoring himself.
No,
then after you started cussing, I was just like,
no. The reason I don't say the N word is because I know how stupid people are, they see me. And they'll be like, why the fuck is this Indian guy saying the N-word? Right? And I say it because, like I said, I'm not 100%. I'm not even 50% black.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I do have it and I have the respect for my roots and culture. But, you know, to me, to also say the N-word and not say Kuli is a bit of a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's
you got to say both at that point.
Exactly. And I don't like saying the N-word and I don't like Kuli. Saying. Yeah,
go for it.
Huh?
Nigga Cooley.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Wait, I know you're allowed to say the N-word. Are you allowed to say the C-word?
Oh, am I?
Oh! Huh? Have you learned nothing from this pod?
So, it is. So, I'm going to give him a pass. Because he didn't say, yo, you're a fucking Cooley.
Okay.
You're just experimenting with swear. Yeah, I know what you're doing. Yeah.
Like, yo.
So, let me go crazy. What else is there? What? You're gonna
make my edit job harder.
We're all canceled. We're all canceled. Don't worry about signing us. We'll do our own shit.
Hey, catch us on Rumble.
Kick.
But like, I would compare that. Remember, I actually brought this up yesterday, and it's funny how like everything's actually flowing. I brought this up yesterday to you. I look at it to like, if I could do an example, would be like Tyla. You know, like how they asked her what's her race and stuff. We all know she's mixed with black and
white.
Indian roots,
oh,
right?
She's not white? I thought you were black, white, and Indian.
I
mean, I'm thinking Doja Cat.
I never heard of the white. Maybe I think she did put up something saying she's Irish. If you could pull up the Instagram post.
Colored with Indian, Zulu, Mauritian, and Irish ancestry.
Oh,
all right, the whites we got in there.
I'm trying to get in there.
So is she black or?
Tyla, look, you gotta search the parents.
Her parents look Indian, man. Like, her parents look like my parents. Well, not they don't look like my parents, but you know what I mean.
So she says she's not.
Because like, her dad is brown and her mom is black.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
But like, Americans would say, oh, black doesn't mean African. Because when I hear black, I think, oh, African based people, like dark skinned people, you know what I mean? But like, they say, oh, no, black means
African American.
Yeah, FBA, Foundational Black American, whereas like, y'all, like Kendrick said, they not like us. Like, you guys are not us. You guys don't
eat. Kendrick wasn't really making that track for
just
the whole world, you know. He was making it saying, yo, hey, black people of America, this is our shit.
Exactly.
Fuck everyone else. Even if they're black in a different world, fuck them too.
They have a unique experience, though. You have to.
We don't be eating chitlins ill.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
I heard oxtail in America is like totally different than like oxtail in the Caribbean.
I was just in New York. I have to try it. I'm going back.
They say oxtails.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes down to like the black stuff, like me claiming that I'm black and that whole conversation, like, honestly, I just try to keep it as clean, throw, and basic as possible for people to understand. Like, hey, this is why I do. If I'm not saying coolie, I'm not saying the N-word. I'm not saying that.
So. Same. No, I don't say either of those words anymore. Because I didn't know.
Hey, growing up. I didn't know. Growing up, hey, like, I would say it. But because if you ever get big, people are going to go back. Like, oh, you said that.
Yeah.
Hey, like, growing up, we all said it. It was part of the culture of kids and shit. But now it's like, yo, I'm at that age where it's like, man, am I really going to go on my way to say this, knowing I'm gonna upset people? And I don't care to upset people, but see, with that is very, very delicate.
Yeah,
you know, I treat that with the respect I have, the respect for the word.
Are we still trying to talk about Toronto crowds?
Yeah, we'll talk about Toronto crowds. I just want to make sure my camera doesn't die before we get these topics. No, it's my camera. Okay, Toronto crowds, Natural. What do you want to say about him?
I'll do a quick segue. Speaking of foundational Black Americans, when I was DJing in Boston, bro, it was a fete. I was like overwhelmed. The energy that was in the room, broski. Like, as soon as we walked in, it was me, Demdog, and a couple of our other boys.
Shout out Demdog.
I put my laptop back down. We're just standing there. Ashanti comes and brooks it off on Demdog. Brooking out. She's bad too. And then I'm like, oh shit, we in America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At that point, I'm like, we in America. So, bro, the party's going in. Everyone's vibing. Everyone's actually dancing and shit. When it's time for me to DJ, I made like $100 worth of money pull-ups, bro.
Wow.
What?
American.
And it's, bro, it's so rare to get money pull-ups.
Yeah, next night,
boy. No, facts. It's so rare to get money pull-ups in Toronto. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Unless if you're at like a banquet hall.
Or with, if like, you're like coming from a different country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like going there, you just see such a stark difference between the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what do you think it is about Toronto that just makes the crowd so dead?
Everybody wants to be cool. You guys are not cool. If you guys go to a club, yes, I'm looking at the camera. If you guys go to a club to stand up in a corner and bob your head like this and not dance or do anything like celebrative in a celebration way, at a party, you're not cool. You're corny. You're a waste man.
I want new music. And then when you play new music, like, I don't know this song.
Yeah, and then you just stand up like, yo, let loose. Like, you're drinking already. You're drunk. Let loose with the music. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's a fucking club. There's alcohol involved. You have an excuse to go dumb. No one's going to judge you.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. People, Toronto always judge people. Stop doing that shit,
man. I want to shout out Caruza again. Even though, like, I try to highlight up the DJ for them, but I guess I'm not really their lane.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But their events, everybody dances, bro. It kind of like reminds me of the Matrix when like you go in the club in the Matrix,
yeah.
And then was like, boom, but like I'm a piano version, so like it's sick, and everyone dresses in like cool clothes.
I want to go to I'm a piano event.
Yeah, go to them, bro. When they're lit.
Let me know. We'll go. Still,
I think what you were saying about Toronto people thinking they're too cool, like they're so concentrated on the aesthetic of like being a vibe and like looking a certain way, the girls with their lip fillers, the dudes trying to be super swaggy and not do the most. And this is what I will say about like white boy parties and shit. Like, they don't give a fuck about looking cool.
No,
you know what I'm saying? They might throw up in the washroom. They might do some stupid shit, but they do not care about looking cool, and they have the most fun. It looks like
I went to a happy dad party.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So like, shout out to my cousin Daryl and Dylan. We went to
Daryl and Dylan,
yeah, and they're Trini, eh?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so yo, we went to the Happy Dad party. I forgot what bar it was, but dude, we had the white boys coming out of me because I turned into a white boy that night. Yo, the whole fucking booth was filled with people, everyone's going dumb. I just remember this guy going around with two bottles, just dashing in girls' mouths, like everyone's going dumb crazy, and I'm like, am I in Toronto? Like, the fuck? Like, no, white boy parties? Like, yo, y'all can get down still. White people, y'all can get down.
That's so funny because I was in Apartment 200 a couple weeks ago, and then I was with my boy who's, like, not the most socially inept. He doesn't really read on social cues. So, like, he loves to dance and shit, you know? He's there. He's trying to bust. He's trying to go crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to show him, like, yo, easy. It's not one of those ones.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, am I stifling this guy's, like, freedom and expression right now? But also, like, it was mad packed and shit, and like, it's kind of selfish, you taking up all this space to do your dance move, you know what I mean? But it's like, But are we partying or not?
But sometimes you need someone to do that.
No, facts. Yeah. Fine. Yeah, you can just sit right here, fam.
Special star to the Walker, right?
I thought that was B3. I was like, yo, chill. We're doing a pod. Jeez, Dem Dog on the pod? What?
Man.
Big up. Yo, I got to get this guy. This guy helped me make $1,000. We had a video shoot. I asked him, yo, who's winning the finals? This was back in November. And I was like, Boston. I was like, all right.
Oh and shit!
You never placed the bet when we talked about it. That's crazy.
You never placed the bet.
Yo, put the mic on it. Put the mic on it.
That's crazy. What were the odds?
It was like a favorite still, so I had to put that's a little. I put 400 on it to get 15 back.
Yeah. All right, so well. This was a good episode of the Wave and the Muzzy and Burrow Sound.
Yo, can we talk about one more thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Top five greatest diss songs.
Okay. Oh, yeah. This was a good one, too. If you want to catch it, watch our Patreon. No, I'm joking. We're not on Patreon.
This part is, exclusive.
Natural's diss song is number one. I'm joking now. I would say...
Oh, yeah, when I dissed the Mayus from Malta and posted them.
Still dissing. Hit 'em Up would be number one. No Vaseline is number two. Back Down would be number three. Number four would be Eminem's Hail Mary with Busta.
Okay, yeah. Oh, this guy is about Ja Rule.
Yeah, and not to water down the list, but I liked Back to Back, and I put that as number five.
Damn, not like us, not on that track, on that list.
You know what's gonna
not
be like on my list.
Like, not like us is a good diss song for sure. Actually, fuck Back to Back. Let's put Not Like Us. Okay. Because, yeah, he was saying some worse shit than Drake.
Let's see what Google says.
The number one diss song of all time. I don't give a fuck who says what. The number one diss song is Don't Run, aka Last Man Standing.
Oh, my,
by
hold
the
up.
Greatest.
Hold up, hold
the
up, hold
greatest
up, hold up. We're talking about dancehall too? Fuck. All right. If it's dancehall, that's a whole. Because there's like 50 million.
50 million.
This song, Movado and Cartel alone have like 100 diss songs to each other already.
If you play Hit 'em Up, yeah, you get a big reaction. Yeah. But when you play Don't Run, bro.
Nobody runs.
Yeah. So I'd say that's number one. Then I'd say number two is Hit 'em Up.
The boy run like a wounded dog.
Bud.
Brock, use a record. Yo.
So were you not throwing the ether in there?
Well, that's just like a little bit before my time, you know what I mean? So like, and although like Hit 'em Up was before my time, I remember being a kid looking at that music video, like 8, 9 years old.
Yeah,
like my OG's putting me on and shit, you know?
It was always on TV too.
Madam didn't really put me on either. I might put that number five though. So number one, Don't Run. Number two, Hit 'em Up. Number three, I'm going to say... No Vaseline is actually crazy. So.
Yeah, like the shit he was saying. Yeah, no Vaseline. I think that started the whole... All right, you can go cuss and say whatever fuck you want in your record now because I'm not part of NWA. You don't need to be part of NWA.
But it sounds so old when you listen to it. And I was like, God damn, I'm glad y'all said it all.
It's hard, bro. Yeah,
it's still hard, but it's like old school bars where it's like in the park and it's after dark. Like it's just a little bit removed from that era, you know?
Because like if it was like The Flash where it's like, don't push me because I'm close to.
Yeah.
Like that would be kind of whack, you know what I mean? But like.
It's in his number two here.
No, No Vaseline is hard when it comes in.
Because what he said happened.
Yo, taking the first part. Oh, damn, I'm glad y'all set it off.
Used to be hard.
Now y'all wet and soft. Bro, hard. And then I'd say number four for me is Not Like Us. So, like, I love, like, as much as I love Euphoria, like, I can't really put that on, like, a top.
It's too slow in the beginning, man.
No, I love that part. Yeah? No. But Not Like Us, like everything he's saying is just so visceral. You know what I mean? Like, so, and then I'd say number five is Ether.
Okay. Is Training Wheel by Vybz Kartel, that's a diss song, right?
To Alkaline.
Yeah, it is, right? That's like, I'm going to put that five because I love that song. That's, and I'm like, yo, let me just throw in a little dance on it. Because I actually listened to that song. I don't even understand the full words sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
Where the fuck them feel? Ulysses said them still wear training wheels. Because like Alkaline was like a younger...
Because Kartel got locked up and they were all looking for the new Kartel. Yeah. Everybody wanted a new... And the only person that came close was Alkaline.
Yeah.
Jeez. And it wasn't somewhere from Kartel's camp. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So. Then I'm going to go Ether, Hit 'em Up, back to back, because as a DJ, when that song came out in Toronto, and it was at the same time when Toronto hip hop was booming, was like, it was like a hack, you know what I'm saying? I hate to have to say Not Like Us might be the best one for me, because I just feel like it's going to be with us for so many years. Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't even seen it like blossom yet. Like, this is the first year.
So you're
song.
Going in reverse order. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's a sick way to do it. Yeah. Take notes. Yeah. I think Not Like Us will be the most commercially successful diss song ever. Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? In terms of streams, Grammys and stuff. And that's it was actually a good song.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's a song that gets played everywhere.
Matt's got jumped to it, you know, so. Yeah,
Matt's got jumped to it. That's sorry. Just because, like, I'm a huge Vybz Kartel fan, and hearing you guys got Vybz Kartel on your list, I'm going to put number 4, take out the Eminem Hail Mary. I'm going to do the diss track where he went after Bounty Killer and the whole of the Alliance.
Oh, okay.
So, I forgot the name of it, though. It
was, is it the one, the boy suck pussy from county to county? That's why the toilet paper name Bounty.
Yeah, that one.
And,
that
they,
one.
And the artist name is Bounty Killer.
Jeez.
Yeah, so he was going at them crazy.
Yo, Kyrie, where can the people find you, man?
You can find me on Instagram, YouTube. So my Instagram is Kyrie, KAIRI.RBW. My YouTube is simply Kyrie. Right now, I'm in the lab doing some work. So hopefully, I just got like this exclusive record I was talking to Natural with.
Mad.
So hopefully, I got something going for Thanksgiving in September. So something's going to be coming. It's going to be something where I feel like not just one part of the Caribbean will feel included. It's going to be the whole of the Caribbean. I feel like I juve thing, because we got elements of dancehall, you know, some jab, everything in there. So.
You see, he man said, who can hear will feel? Okay. All right, Natural.
Where can they find me? Don't find me. I'm low-key on the run right now. No, I'm joking. I will say, find me at DJ Natural Wave on all platforms.
Yeah, find me at the bar later tonight. At DJ Zar TV. Probably not going to a bar tonight. But yeah, man, make sure you comment, like, subscribe to Burrow Sound, The Wave and the Muzzy. And until next time.